Remember enjoying Saturday morning cartoons and savoring the sugary milk at the bottom of your cereal bowl? Well, Kachava's new Cinnamon French Toast all-in-one nutrition shake gives you all the nostalgic feels and benefits. Made with real cinnamon bark for rich, authentic flavor, just two scoops provide the complete nutrition your body craves. Take a sip of nostalgia. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off your first order. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
What's happening? Hope everyone's enjoying their weekend. Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast. I'm Justin Spears here with Micah Lev. We are a part of the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com team. We are brought to you by Pima Federal Credit Union. Shout out to Pima Federal Credit Union. And Lev, we got lots to talk about on the Arizona football front. We've got lots from training camp, some interesting storylines. We're going to kind of go down each position for the Arizona Wildcats and just kind of take a look at each practice. I mean, we're about what? Today is Saturday. This is a Saturday morning when we're recording this. We're about to see practice number 9. At Casino del Sol Stadium. So we're going to see an evening practice, and we'll be 9 practices in, Lev. So overall thoughts on just being out at training camp and just watching the structure of what the Wildcats are doing right now.
I guess my overall thought is I'm glad we get to do this, because apparently if you look around the country or you look around the conference,
Colorado,
some places they don't get to do this. So yeah,
Colorado's like a comedy
Colorado
show.
Yeah,
and honestly, and when I say comedy show, I'm not saying like their roster and how they're going to be this year, because like I just have very low expectations for Colorado. But they're like taking phones, like you can't record, you can't report on anything. It's like going to a comedy show, but you're watching football practice.
Yeah, I thought you were going for sort of like a we're laughing at them, not laughing with them kind of thing. But that works also. Yes, confiscating phones. But no phones have been confiscated. No one's been kicked out of practice. We've gotten a chance to see pretty much everything. We can't obviously report on everything. But during this pod today, we're going to kind of give you some sort of thought, opinion, analysis on every position.
Yep.
So quarterback, Justin, fire away. What you got?
From the top, QB1, Noah Fifita. Man, he looks really good. I mean, the arm strength, the accuracy, the touch, like even when Arizona gets inside the red zone, I mean, he could really fire some passes, but the touch gets to the wide receivers and they're able to make a play. Like there was one play yesterday where he put one up for Tyler Powell, the Arizona's tight end, and only a position where he can get it. Now, Tyler Powell made one hell of a catch, and we'll talk about the tight ends here in just a little bit, but he put in a position to where only he can make the catch. It was very Tetaroa McMillan-esque, but I just think that a lot of the touchdowns that we've seen in the red zone periods, in the 7-on-7s, in the 11-on-11s, like these touchdown throws in the corner of the end zone, it's impressive. And I mean, Noah's playing at a very, very high level. He can also get out of the pocket, you know, in case the pocket collapses or he's got to improvise, he can get out on the move and make some impressive throws. We've also seen some design runs with Noah, which was the case last year, right? We started to see Noah Fifita use his legs more. And so Noah just looks like a polished quarterback, and he looks like an all Big 12 quarterback. He looks like arguably the best quarterback that we've ever seen play at the University of Arizona. So I've been very impressed with Noah.
Yeah. He's throwing dimes out there. Like the way he's able to layer the ball over defenders, the accuracy down the field, like they've taken a lot of shots.
Yeah.
During these practices. I don't know if that is indicative of how they're going to play this season. Obviously the offensive line has to hold up for that to happen, but yeah, like he has made a bunch of wow throws. The other thing I would say about the quarterback position is if the season were starting tomorrow, and assuming that everyone is healthy, I would feel more confident with Sawyer Anderson as the backup quarterback over Luke Haugo. Not that Haugo's had a bad training camp at all. The factor that I would cite is that a healthy Sawyer Anderson can make things happen with his legs if things break down with the passing game. I mean, he might be still at a one read and go phase of his career, But you could kind of make that work if you had to. Let's say Noah was down for a half or something, right? Whereas Howell goes a little bit more of a traditional, like, pocket passer type who, you know, is not as much of an athlete. So, you know, I think, you know, that Sawyer would be a more logical choice for the number two quarterback. We still have a few weeks to let that play out.
He's made some awesome throws, too, and has made some really good plays. So, and he's very
They both have. Yeah.
They both have. And in Oscar Rios, you know, he's as he continues to get healthy, I'm curious to see how the second half of training camp goes for him. He's been able to get in the mix a little bit, but we'll definitely see more as he gets ramped up. Okay, so the quarterback's in pretty good shape right now. Running backs, Lev, this is a very loaded group. It's not like they needed Ismail Mahdi, but my goodness, it's like you bring back your leading rusher, a guy who's a really good player and also a really good person, really good leader. Why wouldn't you bring him back? And so you add that to the mix with Kedrick Reasonneau, who had 10 touchdowns last year, the most rushing touchdowns by an Arizona running back since your boy, Zach Green, in 2017, Lev. It's crazy how many rushing touchdowns that he had last year. And then you bring back Quincy Craig, who is a very versatile running back and showed that he could get it done in the passing game and the running game as well. So, you know, with him healthy, that's going to be a really good option at running back for Arizona. So you bring back the three-headed monster that you had from a year ago, the three-man rotation, and then you add in Antoine Roberts, who, like, body type and just kind of how he plays kind of reminds me a little bit of Michael Wiley from a few years ago. And he's going to be a really good player in Seth Diggy's system. And then you got these youngsters like Cornelius Warren III and Wesley Yarbrough, who looks very impressive running the ball and has, you know, some power and looks good. So I don't know, Lev, like, this is, you know, a 6-man running back rotation probably isn't going to happen. So is it just going to be those veterans that we talked about at the start of this? And then Wesley Yarbrough and Cornelius Warren III, once again, they're just going to have to kind of wait their turn.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it depends on how healthy everybody is and stays. But I think it's going to be primarily Kedrick Reasonneau, Quincy Craig, and Antoine Roberts. But I think it's going to be much more evenly distributed than maybe people think. Like, Quincy Craig can do some things that the other guys can't do in terms of splitting out wide, being a natural pass catcher. We saw him do that a bunch last year. And Antoine Roberts has been really a pleasant surprise for me this camp. Like, he looks really good. I love your Michael Wiley comp. He's kind of like, that's a little bit upright, but he's very smooth. He's maybe like faster than you think. Like, he's good.
Yeah,
he's good. So I think all three of those guys are going to play. I don't think there's going to be like a lead back situation. I think it's going to be a straight up rotation and they all might end up with 8 to 10 carries a game, you know, if everything goes according to script. And then, of course, you know, there's always injuries at that position, like every single year. So that's why you bring back an Ismail Mahdi. That's why you get a Wesley Yarbrough or a Corn Warren ready to go in case that happens.
You think a lot of sidecar action? Because you mentioned Quincy Craig. Mm. He has a receiver background. That's what he played at Modern Day because, well, I think it was like Relique Brown and then somebody else was there. So they had a loaded running back room. So he kind of became more of a receiver. You do like sidecar and then motion out Quincy Craig. Like, there's a lot of things you could do there.
Yeah. They're most oft used formation on offense is 3 wide, 1 tight end, 1 running back. The most frequent substitute they would make out of that is to take a wide receiver off and put a tight end on. But they will, on occasion, use 2 running backs at the same time. And when you have someone like Quincy Craig who has that skill set, that gives you more options, more versatility, more ways to kind of create favorable matchups.
Absolutely. All right, now let's move on to the pass catchers, the wide receivers, Lev.
Man, we could do a whole pod on this, honestly.
Okay, so it's fair to say that the headliners, right, are Trey Spivey, Gio Richardson, who, by the way, I mean, Trey Spivey, he's a good receiver, but if I were to pick like a Fafita's favorite, Gio Richardson is that guy. Like, he looks like Fafita's favorite target at training camp. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Hunter, who on Friday had probably the best training camp that I've seen. I mean, that guy made some impressive catches.
Yeah, they showed that one on the Arizona football feed, the one in the back of the end zone, twisting, leaping, getting the foot down just inside the back line. Good stuff.
It was amazing.
Yeah, and I would say, like, I agree. Those three are the top, but it's been interesting this camp that, like, Trace Bivey was, like, the guy in spring. And he really hasn't been that involved.
Yeah.
In camp, it's been a little odd. Like, they just haven't thrown the ball to his way that much. I don't know. I'm not going to read much into that. It might mean nothing.
Yeah.
It might mean something. But again, I'm sort of leaning more toward the even distribution model than the one guy catches more balls than everybody else model. Even last year, post T-Mac, Chris Hudson ended up being, like, in Big 12 play, like, the leading pass catcher in the league.
Yeah.
You know, I don't foresee that happening unless Gio Richardson ends up, like you said, kind of being Fafita's favorite.
Yeah. And the gap behind those guys, it's very thin and thinner than I thought, Lev, because Isaiah Mizell, the second year wide receiver, you know, while he's had some bad moments, like, we'll be real here, he's had some drops. He had a fumble in a 7-on-7 period too. So, you know, he's had some growing moments. But, man,
the highs are so high.
I'm like, dude, you are a playmaking machine, dude. And he's also really fast, too. I mean, we hear about him being probably the fastest guy on the team. So, yeah, Isaiah Mizell looks really good. Brandon Phelps, who got banged up in the spring, he's back. He's got a big old brace on his leg. He looks good. Like, he's
getting out there
making some plays. RJ Mosley, the freshman. I mean, both freshmen, really. RJ Mosley and Caleb Smith, a.k.a. Jet. You said it yesterday, 11. You're totally right. You were like, they're just so talented and just kind of unique in their own way. Like, RJ Mosley is like a big playmaker, can go up and get it. Also very athletic too. But Jet is like twitchy and quick and like smooth. Obviously a smaller slot receiver, but both of those guys have been so impressive. And so we've been hearing about like the 8-man rotation at wide receiver and how that could be a possibility. And usually coaches, when they say that, it's hyperbolic. And I'm like looking at the guys that are popping in training camp. And I'm like, man, these guys might actually be legit. And the crazy thing is like, there's more than 8 guys. So I'm like, man, somebody is going to get their feelings a little hurt. And unfortunately it's because that wide receiver room is just really good. And we didn't even talk about the transfers.
Yeah. There's only so many footballs to go around. So you have to come up with a way to keep guys happy. Cause course, you don't want talented players to leave via the portal. And I'm thinking about, you know, RJ Mosley and Caleb Smith, the freshmen, very different players, complementary skill sets, different body types, but like impressive in their own ways. Said Brandon Phelps had a really good camp. We heard so much about his positive offseason. I guess he was banged up in spring. He's back. I really like the way he plucks the ball. He's a hands receiver all the way. He's the all-time leading receiver in Arizona history in high school, right? So you can see where that came from. And, yeah, and then there's the transfers also, right? There's Rodney Gallagher, they like a lot. There's DJ Jordan, who's, like, another kind of big upside guy. And then Jordan Ross, too, who had some nice moments in this last practice. So, like, really deep and interesting position. And I'm sure over the course of the season, we will be talking about like the target distribution.
Yeah.
Right. What does that look like? Who's getting the ball? You know, like, is it sort of a spread the wealth situation? Does Nofa Fita kind of have his favorite guys? We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But I feel like overall it's a good problem to have.
No doubt. And tight ends, they're also going to be heavily involved in the passing game as well. And unlike last year, because last year that position group took a hit as far as depth, right? Because guys got banged up. Tyler Powell went down with a season-ending leg injury. Kean Burnett stepped away from the team after the first 4 games. So they were down a couple of guys. But then you had that steady leader in Sam Olsen. And then you had Cameron Barmore, who really came on really in the second half last year and looked really impressive. But you lose those 2 guys. So how does that room look? Well, they added a lot of new faces or a few new faces, and they also bring back Tyler Powell. And that catch that he made Friday was, in my opinion, that was the best play of training camp. And what's crazy is it was so good because, I mean, they've been very competitive, offense versus defense. I mean, it's a good team bonding, but like there's definitely like, hey, offense, defense, you celebrate your side when you guys make plays. And it was such an impressive catch that even Joe Salavea was like running up and down, like celebrating Tyler Powell's grab. Like it was awesome, yeah, man.
I think that a big part of that too is that everyone knows what Tyler Powell has been through.
It's true.
Over the last like 11 months, right? Very he true. Got suffered a season ending injury on the very first play of the season.
Yeah.
Last year when he was supposed to be, you know, one of the top two tight ends on the team.
He started at tight end.
So, yeah. So he has had this long, laborious comeback from this knee injury, and he's fully cleared now. And he went T-Mac, like he skied up. He went up. It was like a red zone situation, maybe a two-point. I'm sure they were doing both red zone and two-point plays yesterday. I can't remember which was which, but it was kind of a scramble play, scramble drill situation, and Noah was kind of rolling to his left, threw the ball up, and then this big paw, this 6'7" guy, out of nowhere, just goes up with one hand, brings it down, and everybody just goes completely nuts. I mean, I was not there the day that Dash Fifita intercepted his brother, but for those of you like Justin who were, you think this play even topped that one?
It was louder for Tyler Powell. Yep. Because
very cool.
Yeah, I mean, with Dash, it was cool, but like you said, Lev, considering what Tyler Powell has overcome in the last year, and then just the fact that it was just an awesome play, like definitely the best grab that I've seen. There have been some impressive catches, but that was next level stuff.
So he was so fired up too.
That's what I do.
He was saying some bad. He was saying some words that we can't say here on the pod too. But that just showed like all the emotion I think that had been building up in him for all those months just came out in that moment. So that was neat.
So happy for him. Yeah. And then Cole Rusk, the transfer from Illinois. Lev, I didn't know this until Ali pointed it out on Spears and Ali that Arizona, the right side is like all Big Ten. It's like you got Zach Henning, the transfer from Washington.
If you want to count that, but sure.
Sure. Okay, well, Alexander Deuce started his career at your alma mater, Northwestern. You got Tristan Bounds, right tackle transfer from Michigan, and then Cole Rusk, the transfer from Illinois.
Yeah.
So you got all Big Ten right side of Arizona.
Yeah, and we will later in the podcast talk about somebody who's from the state of Iowa.
Yes,
we'll get there. Most definitely. You know, speaking of the offensive line, I got like no major issues with the starting offensive line. Like, I think they've been really solid so far. I guess my concern at that position is like, what happens if somebody gets injured? Like, how do we feel about the depth? Is there a big drop off? Like, is someone like Louis Akpa ready to play at right tackle if something were to happen to Tristan Bounds? Louis was a freshman last year, so second year offensive lineman. You know, Javian Goo, they're trying to develop him into a center. Like, is he ready to do that? I don't know. Got the Griffin brothers over there on the left side. You've got
Malachi Joyner.
Sione Tohi, right?
Yeah.
Malachi Joyner, who's a true fresh. So that's my quote-unquote issue with the offensive line is what happens if somebody goes down. I mean, that's, you know, that's why they pay Josh Oglesby the big bucks, get those guys ready, but that worries me a little bit.
Yeah, and I also think, too, you know, one thing that while it is a good move for Rhino to move inside to left guard, I think long-term-wise that is the position that he's going to exceed at or excel at. But I do think that the if one of those tackles were to go down, maybe you move Rhino out to tackle because he's got that experience, like legit game experience playing at tackle. And then you can move, you know, Sione Tohi or maybe Jake Griffin, the older, you know, one of the elder statesmen of the offensive line group. Maybe you could put him at left guard, but you're totally right, Lev. Like the five players that they have are pretty solid. Like I think Matthew Lotto is going to end up becoming a really, really solid left tackle. I think Rhino at left guard is a perfect fit. Zach Henning, I've heard nothing but good things about him. He looks pretty solid at center. And then the right side, with those, I mean, physical freaks, literally. I mean, Alexander Deuce was named to the Bruce Feldman freaks list for being 6'7", 335 pounds. And it, I mean, what he's been able to do in the weight room has been impressive this year. I mean, back squatting 620, bench pressing 440, power cleaning 405, the only player on Arizona's roster to power clean over 400 pounds. Like, he is just a physical specimen.
And my only experience with 405 is driving on it.
In Los Angeles. Yeah. It's crazy, man. Like what Alexander Deuce has done in the weight room. And then I think honestly, one of the most impressive things that I've heard about his athletic abilities, he can run 18 miles per hour. And then he broad jumped over 10 feet. And then they have this, that climbing rope in the weight room at the little Stevens football facility. And he climbed all the way to the top. So yeah, he's just crazy, crazy.
If he has a good year this year, he's going to get drafted.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
I totally believe that. And then Tristan Bounds at right tackle, you know, I think he has added some good weight to his frame. I remember when he first came here last year, Lev, we were like, man, he's tall, but like, he's got to put a little bit more weight on his frame. And he's added about 15, 18 pounds to his frame. And then he's been boxing this summer. So he's been doing, you know, kind of the hand work and the footwork, things that are really good for offensive line. But those guys behind them, Lev, like you said, if one of those guys get banged up, it'll be very, very interesting.
Was this one play a couple days ago where Victory Johnson kind of bowled over Tristan Bounds. Now, was Victory Johnson offside? I don't know. He wasn't called offside, so I guess he wasn't. But like, his get off was like so perfectly timed. It was a really great play by Victory, and you know, Tristan was like, you know, he was doing this. Like, there should have been a flag. You know?
Yeah,
but it should have been offside. I'll cut him some slack on that one. But good transition to the defensive line.
Yes, sir.
Where I would say the guy who's like, to me, like, really stood out, kind of in an unexpected way, because I just didn't have like incredibly high expectations, and there's maybe been some, you know, some injury absences that have opened up playing time for him, but it's Kaisi Lafitaga, who is a true freshman who's been running with the ones like a bunch. He is a defensive tackle from Pago Pago American Samoa, who initially was signed as an offensive lineman, and somehow Joe Salavea won the tug of war with Josh Oglesby to bring him over to the defensive line. And when you watch him move around, how athletic he is for being such a big man, you kind of understand like why Joe wanted him in his room. Like, yeah. He looks like he's going to be another impact interior defensive lineman who's a true freshman for Arizona for the second year in a row, following in the footsteps of Maze Pesse.
We could be looking at defensive lineman Jonas Abunaya, Lev. Like, I think Kaisi could be that guy. And Big Joe, and listen, Leroy Palu, like, if I were to guess who's going to start week one against NAU at nose tackle, it's going to be Leroy Palu. But this Kaisi Lafitaga guy, he's from American Samoa. And Joe Salavea said there's these kind of players all over the place. If you really, really do your homework and you do your due diligence, you can find these guys on these islands. And there's a bunch of guys like Kaisi just waiting to be selected and recruited by schools. And when they brought him over, yeah, like you said, Lev, he was initially signed to play offensive line. But if you just look at his frame, and if you look at also kind of the need, you know, Arizona could use a guy like Kaisi. Like, Kaisi could definitely start as a true freshman on the defensive line. Could he start as a true freshman on the offensive line? So with this new 5-for-5 deal, you know, you want to get your best guys on the field. You don't want to just have them just kind of waiting in the back seat. So I've been very impressed with Kaisi. He's going to be a name. He's going to be a dude this year. And then he's going to be one of those high level draft picks that we talk about. And Joe Salavea compared him to Francis Mauigoa, the offensive lineman that's now with the New York Giants, who was who played for Miami, and then Penei Sewell. he said that when they recruited those guys, that they were both offensive and defensive linemen. Like, they could excel at either side of the ball. You just have to pick one. And Joe put Kaisi in that category with those guys, which I think says a lot about him.
Interesting. Huh. The other name that I would mention who stood out to me is Trey Smith. He just looks really fit and healthy and explosive. And he's had several injury issues over the course of his career. They've talked about this offseason being maybe the first time that he's been like fully healthy and fully able to participate in everything. And it shows out there. And I think people are kind of sleeping on him, not here in Tucson, but like sort of in the Big 12 media sphere. Like, to me, Trey Smith has all the makings of like an all-conference player this year. And if he stays healthy, I expect him to be one.
Totally. And I think that working with Joe Salavea for another year is really going to show. Big Joe has coached so many high-level players from Washington State, Oregon, Miami, and I think you're going to add Trey Smith to that list. So we mentioned Kaisi Lafitaga. If there's another freshman that you're banking on stepping up this year, Lev, who is it and why is it Prince Williams?
I was going to say Prince Williams is definitely somebody that is going to be part of the rotation, right? They like him a lot. It seems like they got a really good haul of defensive linemen. Again, you hope that they can, you know, come up with the money and the culture to keep them around for a long time and, you know, make them 3, 4, 5 year Wildcats. But I mean, Ketron Harris is another one. Like, I don't know how much of an impact he's going to have, but like, he's got the body that you want. Like, he's a naturally like huge dude out there. And Prince is another, he's just a hustler, you know, like he's just going to give everything he's got all the time. He might not be like the biggest or the fastest, but he's got all that intangible stuff that you look for sure.
Is Dom like Lalesio? I feel like we don't talk about him enough. Like, he's a good player. He just kind of seems like he's underrated and just kind of flies under the radar as a starter.
Because he just doesn't make a lot of splash plays.
Yeah.
You know,
good job. He's a good player.
Yeah, he does. I mean, in Danny Gonzalez's scheme, I mean, it kind of seems like the safeties, you know, end up with a lot of numbers. You know, and they funnel a lot of even running plays to the safeties. So, you know, you gotta beat your man, gotta get in the backfield, gotta make sacks. They think they're gonna create more pressure this year. They think their front six or front seven or however many you want to say, just front six these days, is going to be better than last year's, deeper than last year. So we'll see if that's the case. And if that's true, then those guys will accumulate more numbers and they will get a little more notoriety.
Linebackers are going to be interesting because Danny did a lot of funky stuff last year. I mean, I think he said in the ASU game, he was like, man, you guys didn't even notice. There were times where we had five linebackers on the field. I was like, what? You are a maniac. So we've seen just kind of the creativity with Danny Gonzalez, especially in that linebacker room. And man, they've got some names in that room, Lev. Like, we've seen Tay Brown, Chase Kennedy, you know, it seems like those guys are the two leaders of that group. And then we've seen a lot of Cooper Blomstrom, the transfer from Georgetown. He's been getting a lot of run with the ones.
He's been kind of the, like, when they go 3-3-5, he's been the third guy most of the time.
The edge rusher type, right? You see him like right behind the defensive ends, almost, you know, kind of Riley Wilson-esque. So Cooper Blomstrom's in the mix. Everett Rousseau, the transfer from Memphis. He was kind of slow at the start of training camp, was getting more and more active. And then, you know, we've got Dash Fifita, Leviticus Sua. Max Harris is now back in the mix. He's one of those 5-for-5 guys that was re-added to Arizona's roster. And we've been seeing him conditioning off on the sidelines. And he looks like he might be in better shape than he was last year. Like, this is a guy
that's been
training hardcore, staying ready, because, you know what, at this time of year, you're one phone call away from getting on a flight and going to an NFL team and being a part of their training camp. So Max Harris has been just kind of staying ready, waiting for his NFL moment. Instead, he gets another life with the Arizona Wildcats. And so he's another guy that you drop right in that mix. And I'm just curious, man, what that linebacker room is going to look like, because they went out and replaced Riley Wilson and Max Harris. They found the replacements, and then they got Max Harris to come
back. Yep.
Similar to the running backs.
So they used three different, mainly. Danny said they used five linebackers at times. I don't know. We didn't notice that. But most of the time, it's either a 4-2-5, a 3-3-5, or sometimes a 2-4-5. And you know, those, you know what, it's a little bit semantics, right? Like the two guys on the outside, are they linebackers, are they defensive ends, whatever you want to call them. But he has been able to find a way to get guys on the field, and he's got a goodly number of guys now. You know, like, how does four across of Cooper Blomstrom and Chase Kennedy on the outside, Max Harris and Tay Brown on the inside sound to you, with Everett Rousseau kind of able to do either spot? Like, that sounds pretty good.
Sounds good to me.
Like, you can do some stuff with that. And what that does when you put those guys on the field, and like you said, they kind of do that amoeba defense thing where they're just moving around and they're not really in a set position, it creates confusion for the quarterback or the offensive lineman. They don't know who's rushing. They don't know who's dropping. And when you have that, that's what leads to 30 plus turnovers,
yep,
which they got last year. We were talking about this a little bit as we were watching practice. Like, there's bound to be some regression, you would think, with that turnover number, unless it's just a product of the scheme. And Danny would probably tell you, like, look at my history, we've always done this. Like, it might be a product of the scheme that it's just perplexing for quarterbacks to figure out.
Which leads to defensive backs.
Mm.
So this is a group that's going to replace five guys that are playing in the NFL right now. Four of them were drafted. And you know what? All make it plays. Like
one of them. Yeah, one of them wasn't drafted, had a pick six last night.
Aiden Garnes.
Yeah.
Man, it was awesome to see that. Get that pick six for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Genesis Smith
fast,
had an interception.
Didn't he look fast?
Oh, yeah.
Aiden, yeah.
Yeah, Aiden looked great. Yeah. Genesis Smith had a near interception, which was very pretty. On Saturdays, it would have counted, but on Sundays, it does not. He looked great in a Chargers uniform. Stoops.
Everybody looks great in those uniforms, man.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Very true. The best uniforms in football.
Just like, please, just burn those highlighter yellow ones. Just trash those.
The Savannah banana looking jerseys.
We don't need that. You have the best. You have the best uniform maybe in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Just wear those. It's fine.
Powder blues.
There's a bunch of different combinations you can do with those
forever
that aren't like yellow from head to toe.
Anyway, I am
rant over.
Totally in line with you, man. It's like Savannah banana looks, can't do it, but the powder blues always sexy. But so the NFL guys, they look great. Arizona, they got to replace these guys, and I think it's fair to say that Javion Cole is going to be your starting corner, and then Malcolm Hartzog is going to be in there in some shape or form, whether mm-hmm. it's that slot yep. corner, which I think that's where he's going to play. Maybe you put him at box safety. I don't know. Because, you know, Dalen Austin is also a guy that can play slot cornerback too. And the Oregon transfer, we have yet to see him in training camp because he's overcoming
or in spring
shoulder injury.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I haven't seen him practice yet. He's getting close, it looks like, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the red jersey. So maybe we'll see him in action. I think they like him a lot for his upside talent. Might be more of a long-term play.
Yeah.
Depending on how things go. But I agree. Cole, I think, is for sure a starter. Hartzog for sure starter. I think Gavin Hunter is a starter. And then you got the other two spots. And Dwight Boodle, Tyrese Boss, Zuri Watson. Those are the three guys battling it out. On the other side, I think eventually Boodle is going to be the guy. But I don't know. That one's still kind of up in the air. And then, man, that deep safety, free safety position, fascinating. Maybe like the most interesting, like, you know, position battle or position of uncertainty on the team.
I'll be honest with you. when I first saw this guy's name pop up in the spring, I was like, okay, well, let's see how it looks in training camp when these guys who are banged up come back. And that guy is Quinn Olsen. And he's been with the team since 2024. He's going into his third season with the program. And he's from Sioux City, Iowa, comes from a quarterback background, had a lot of touchdowns in his high school career, then comes to Arizona as a walk-on defensive back. And I'm like, oh, Quinn Olsen, okay. He's getting some run with the ones.
That's just stuff. And you're like, that's just because other guys are injured.
Yeah, straight up. Right? I wrote him off. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I wrote off Quinn Olsen. And then his name pops up again in training camp. And he stays and is staying and is staying. And it keeps getting these first team reps. And they like him a lot. They love this guy. They think that this could be potentially the next Tre'Davious Stoops-esque story. A guy who was a walk-on, got a shot at a Power 4 school, and then ended up thriving and becoming a mainstay in the defense. And he's made some plays. He intercepted Noah Fifita. He jumped up on a slant route. And,
unbelievable play.
Hey, surprise, grabs the ball, picks off Noah. And I was like,
what just happened?
This is going to be a thing, huh? Like Quinn Olsen is going to be a thing, Lev. I can't believe I'm saying it, but we could be looking at Arizona starting free safety as a walk-on from Sioux City, Iowa.
Yeah, stranger things have happened, and we have seen these walk-on stories before. You mentioned Tre'Davious Stoops. I mean, Chuck Cecil, all-time Arizona legend. He started his career as a walk-on, I believe.
Yeah.
Stanley Berryhill. Yeah, Stanley Berryhill. That's another great example. It can happen. He's big, and he's fast. So, those are good starting points. They list him at 6'3", 205. I mean, hey, that's nice size right there. You mentioned the quarterback background. Genesis Smith had a quarterback background when he was a youth football player, right? And when you're a quarterback, what is your kind of number one, objective? It's to see the field, see what's going on everywhere. And that football knowledge gives you an advantage, I feel like, when you move to the other side and you're playing that safety position, you got to read everything, got to see what's going on. Maybe you have a deeper understanding of pass patterns, right? Or you might be able to follow the quarterback's eyes or guess what he's thinking. So I think all those things give Quinn Olsen a shot here. And I think it's a real thing. He might very well end up being the starting safety. We might get to the Monday of week one, and they all of a sudden the Arizona football feed pops out a video and it's Brent Brennan presenting Quinn Olsen a scholarship.
Yeah.
One of those deals. So, and if this happens, hey man, it's really cool and it's proof. If it does happen, that best man wins.
Yep.
Right. They say it all the time. We don't care how many stars you had, whatever. It's who practices the best, who plays the best. And so far he has practiced the best.
It's crazy. We were talking about, okay, who could be the Genesis Smith replacement? Arizona added 8 defensive backs in the transfer portal. They added a number of safeties. It could be any one of these guys.
And it still could be Cam Chapa. It still could be Lee Mollett. But as of today, I would say it's more likely than not going to be Quinn Olsen unless he gets hurt or he regresses. But I mean, that play he made intercepting Noah, I've seen guys jump those slants and knock them down. The fact that he caught the ball was just crazy. I think Noah was just stunned. What the heck just happened here? But it was a great read and a great play.
Cause comparing it to baseball, is it almost like a pitcher making a catch, right off the bat?
Yeah. Like a line drive.
Yeah.
Screaming liner right back at you. Yeah. Very impressive. A couple plays later, he got a hand on a ball that was thrown behind the receiver that ended up in a pick too for Dominic Lalesio. So
yeah,
that's what you want. Now, look, they haven't tackled, right?
They just got
full. Now, there's been no live tackling. They did a drill where the defensive players were tackling other defensive players and landing on pads and stuff the other day, but they have not done live tackling. So that will be in kind of the next test for Quinn, since he's never played defense in a college game before.
Is he the biggest surprise on defense for Arizona in training?
Yeah. Camp? Yes.
Like by far, right?
Yes. I think no question about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about offense? What biggest surprise for you? I feel like Isaiah Mizell or maybe RJ Mosley and
I'd say Jet Smith. I'd say Jet Smith. Although he might also be like the biggest surprise on special teams too. If he ends up getting the punt returner job, which is of course a good segue for us into special teams. He's in that mix.
Yep.
Like him and Chris Hunter and Gio Richardson, right? Are the three possible punt returners, it looks like.
Yeah.
And hey man, it's another situation where they feel like Jet is the best guy, even though he's a true freshman, they're going to put him back there and see what happens. He's really quick. He's small. He's really quick, fast. He seems very natural. He seems to have no fear whatsoever, which is also good. So our guy, Craig Nivar, he made that funny comparison with punting for Chase Ridley, like the difference between what he was used to before and what like American football's like kicking on the intramural field versus kicking like on I-10.
Yeah.
I feel like punt returner is kind of the same
totally
thing, you know, like it's one thing to have the practice setting, even if they're like trying to like, you know, distract you, abuse you, whatever, hitting you with pads or squirting water on you. But man, when those guys like dudes are running down the field and could tackle you and knock the ball away, that's a different thing. Like thinking about him, you know, waiting, you know, to catch a punt at BYU with like 60,000 people screaming at him. It's a little scary.
It's intimidating.
Yeah.
It's and not only that, but you've got 11 of BYU's players running down the field, exactly, trying to just absolutely decapitate you and hope that you drop that football.
Mm-hmm.
So it's intimidating, but they think that he could do it because one, I mean, he played football at the highest level in Texas, and it was, you know, at a stadium where they had 18,000 people. But that's BYU's a different beast, man. So we'll see if the freshman is up for it, because that's very intimidating. And honestly, for Arizona, that's putting a lot on a true freshman. But it says a lot about Jet. So we'll see.
Yeah. So the punter that I mentioned, Chase Ridley, he's also technically a true freshman, I think. Right.
And he's the same age as Noah Fifita.
Yeah. A little bit older guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to work with the whole 5-year thing. I think he's going to be fine to play here as long as he wants. But so we were in the stadium the other day watching him drop these beautiful punts like inside the 10-yard line, like one after another, end over end style. And it was like, it was art, man. Mm-hmm. Like it was pretty. To
you
watch
know what it felt like
how he was doing that.
It felt like watching like a PGA golfer, like
yeah,
like 100-yard shots.
Yeah,
like
mm-hmm.
Short game. Let me get it to the pin. That's yes, what it like,
sort of like this is why I'm a pro and you're not, because
yeah,
I'm going to every single time from 100 yards put it within 5 feet of the cup.
Yep.
Yeah. So I've been really impressed with Chase. Like, you know, he's learning the American game, but he seems to have all the tools. Like he can do like power punts, he can do those placement ones, he can do the rugby style. I think they finally got like a really good punter from that Australian pipeline.
Yeah. And I mean they had a good one last year, but I mean Chase has been next level, and yeah, I think that he's going to be one of those punters that we talk about as one of the best at Arizona. I think he's
really as good. A weapon, right? Yeah. Like as a field flipping weapon or a, you know, bury the other team near their own goal line kind of guy,
mm-hmm,
which is super valuable in these games that can go either way.
Such an important piece. And then for field goal, Lev,
mm-hmm,
I have yet to see Michael Salgado Medina, AKA Money Mike, miss a field goal. Now, oh, if you
we got to knock wood.
Oh, the old
yeah,
broadcasting curse. Sorry, Mike. But, but yeah, Salgado Medina, man, he's been on fire in training camp. And I see him make these field goals, and it's everywhere. It's from, you know, 35 yards and in the 40s. He's the longest he's made in training camp is a 54-yarder. And so they're moving him all around the field, different yardages and stuff like that, but he's still knocking him through. I just go back to thinking about last year, where I remember Arizona fans on Twitter were like, get this guy out of here. He should not be kicking. And, you know, he did have the lowest field goal percentage by a UVA kicker since 1999, or the most missed field goals by a UVA kicker since 1999. He had the lowest field goal percentage in the Big 12. He'll be the first one to tell you last year could have been a whole lot better, could have been more consistent. But they got the snapper. They've got the holder. Mike's back another year under his belt. And it, that whole operation, Lev, it looks crisper than it did last year.
It's consistency and it's confidence, right? And the two kind of build off of each other. You know, you've got the operation in place from the start of spring, whereas last year it wasn't until the summer that they were able to put that together. And so they're all able to work together and just do it over and over and over again. You see the ball go through the uprights a bunch of times, start feeling good. You know, those whatever little demons were in your head, they vanish. They go away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wrote this in spring. Like, I'd be very surprised if he did not have a much better season this year and become someone who's actually, like, reliable and you feel really good about coming into a game and making a clutch kick.
Because he had a 57-yarder, right? Was that a 57-yarder?
He might have. I mean, it was weird. It was Oklahoma weird State. Year. There were games where he, like that ASU game, he missed several, but then he like would make like a super important one from 40 plus, like later in the game, like the Cincinnati game too. I think he missed one or two and then came back and made one. So he's got it in him.
Yeah.
Right. It's just a matter of seeing the results on a consistent basis. And I think it's going to happen. I think so too.
All right. That is it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. Huge shout out to Pima Federal. This episode of the Wildcast is brought to you by Pima Federal. Whether you're saving for your first car, buying a home, or growing your business, Pima Federal Credit Union puts your goals first. They offer personalized solutions, competitive rates, and expert guidance every step of the way. Because at Pima Federal, banking isn't just about money, it's about you. Learn more at pimafederal.org. All right, and don't forget to subscribe to the Wildcast on Apple and Spotify. Check out the video version on Tucson.com. Lev and I, we're going to be out at Arizona football training camp for the next couple of weeks, and then we got that season opener coming up on September 5th against NAU. For all the Arizona Wildcats football coverage, make sure you go to Tucson.com and the Wildcaster mobile app. Thanks for listening.